You're in a good place now. Relax. Breathe. Smile. You've entered into your element, the home of origin, the home of intelligence and entertainment, where relevant topics are discussed and where what you think counts, and where superior is the norm. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess, live on 660 The Answer.
Welcome back to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. You know, having good friends is really important, and just as important as the ability to acknowledge and identify the people to distance yourself from. You know, not everyone you meet is meant to be in your life. Some people you meet may last a lifetime, while others may be just a few weeks. In order to spend your precious time on Earth wisely, you really have to know who to keep and who to cut friendly bait. You know, the demand for this show has been so strong, hence why we're doing this show live for you tonight. I wrote a blog post a couple years ago, and out of 346 million other posts on the exact same subject, AshleyBurgess.com is ranked second after the Cambridge Dictionary and before Wikipedia. On tonight's Perspectives, we're exploring whom to let go from your friends list, how to do it properly, and afterwards, how to move on with your life. You know, a lot of us know that friends are golden, and when you find beautiful friends, you want to cherish them. You want to keep them forever. Sometimes you find the ones that you don't need or necessarily want to keep, but you keep them around anyway, and this ends up causing what? It causes havoc, pain, drama, and all that to your life. And I know that we as humans want to be loved. We want to be cherished. We want to be liked by other people. And the last thing we want to do is go around telling people off and dropping friends. But you know, sometimes some friends aren't really your friends, and you're doing yourself a disservice by staying in the relationship. You know, on tonight's Perspectives, we're exploring, discussing, and implementing the A to B way of identifying who, why, and how to distance yourself from non-working, overplayed, or painful relationships. Good evening, Billy. How are you doing?
What a great Saturday. I'm doing wonderful. About yourself?
It's a wonderful Saturday evening.
It is.
It's beautiful.
It is. So, and you're looking exceptionally good tonight.
Oh, God bless you. I love you. Yes, this is awesome. We are a good positive group here. We are a good positive
group.
We
are. I don't think we're going to be distancing ourselves from each other.
No, no. You're one of my best friends in the world.
And you're one of mine, too.
Yay!
Fist bump.
Fist bump. Yeah, boom.
Y'all couldn't see it, but we fist bumped.
We did it. So join us tonight, Keenan. Keenan, how you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well tonight. I'm just glad to be here.
I'm glad to have you here.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
And we're going to be talking about friends and all kinds of stuff. So are you up for the challenge tonight?
Sure, I am. I mean, yeah. Yeah.
Why
sure,
not?
Let's do it.
Why not, right?
Why not? You know, we got nothing else better to do. It's a Saturday night.
You know, and there's been so many people that have been actually, you know, tweeting, messaging, you know, going online, making comments about how much they really enjoyed this this blog that I wrote, and they want more information on it because apparently people are dealing with this on a daily basis. So we're going to be exploring, discussing, and implementing the A to B way for identifying who and why and how to distance yourself from non-working, overplayed, or painful relationship. So let's talk about the five usual suspects because I know Keenan, I know Bill and I, we've all had these few people in our lives. Let's talk about the constant energy sucker. I think we all know somebody like that. What about the proverbial dead weight? You know, the big-time users, I always like to say, are the big-time losers are always the big-time users.
Right.
And also liar, liar, liar. They seem to lie about everything. And what about only around when it's convenient for them? I think those are the top five usual suspects. So let's start tonight with the constant energy sucker. Because I think the biggest thing is people want to know, what is an energy sucker? And how do I know if I'm around it? So how do you identify that you're around an energy sucker? And I think the first thing is you feel tense or guarded around them. Have y'all ever experienced this where you're around somebody and at first you really like them and then eventually you're kind of like, whoa. And all of a sudden your back gets all tense. You kind of can't wait to get away from them. You know, it just kind of stresses you out every time you're around them.
Yeah. I have experienced that before. And the thing is, I think it's very, very uncomfortable because it's like, you know, it's like It's like, with me, it's like, I like this person, everything. I'm like, you're a good person. But every time you come around, you know, you always have some kind of problem. You're a negative Nancy. And I don't want to hear that right now. I just want to sit here and drink my beer, watch the game, or do something fun. Let's talk about something fun instead of talk about, you know, the problems that you have. I'm like, granted, yes, I do. I talk about my problems also. However, I try to do it in somewhat of a funny light because, you know, like earlier as we were talking, I came at y'all with a problem, you know, but, you know, I don't think I necessarily sucked the energy, but maybe it was the way I told the story.
No. But also it's about humor and it's about funniness. It's about humor. And I think, Bill, have you ever had any of these situations?
Oh yeah. I mean, I was just about to say, you know, Keenan, I think you hit on the key topic there. It's negativity. That's the energy sponge, you know, and it's those people that you don't ask that person how they're doing. Because they'll tell you, and
exactly.
It's never a happy story. And these kind of people, I think, like to latch on to those who will listen to them. And most people, if you listen to them, they'll get it off their chest. They're good. Let's go grab a beer and have a good time. But there are some people who, the more they talk about what's bothering them or whatever negativity there is, the more they feed off of it. And it's just like a continuous loop, you know, the Incredible Hulk, you know, the more negative they get, the stronger they get, you know.
Well, it's like they have to have a story.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
I always tell people that do that a lot, I'll sit there and say, hey, do you have anything positive that happened to you today? So they'll, you know, they'll do a string of negativity and then you'll be like, hey, do you have anything positive to talk about? And they'll be like, what? And you say, hey, is there anything good going on in your life? I mean, you are alive. I mean, you look like you're doing fine. I mean, you have a car, you have a job, you know, and normally what that'll do is that'll either wake them up and they'll be like, whoa, I've been negative, or that's just going to push them away from you and they're going to find someone that they can be negative with because they're going to be like, why did Ashley ask me this? I mean, how dare her? Then they can go be negative about what I just said. So I think when you identify that you're around an energy sucker is that you feel tense, you feel guarded, you can't wait to get away from them. You begin your time feeling very energetic, but you quickly lose your energy. Because I think I've even began to feel ill before where I've gone into a situation and, you know, had a great conversation, but it all of a sudden it's like my energy starts going away and I'm listening to this person. And the next thing you know, I'm starting to feel like I'm kind of coming down with something. And then it's like, wow. And you kind of feel confined and constricted at the same time. And then at the worst of it, you can feel almost like you're under attack. Like constant scrutiny. You know, like when somebody keeps asking you questions and they're scrutinizing everything you're saying, almost like you have no reason to be talking about this because they're going to find fault in everything you have to say. And that's also as well as what? Muscle tension and headaches. A headache is a big, I think, response factor. When you're around somebody that's sucking the life out of you, if you leave there feeling just beat up, I mean, if you walked in feeling $1 million and you walk out feeling like $1.10, you need to realize who you're around. And
right.
It could be somebody you know really
right.
well.
Yeah, or you have the headache just thinking that you got to go spend time with this
person. Oh, that's bad.
Yeah. You know, that's when it's really bad, yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, but then again, there's always a way to kind of, I like to kind of dip out of the conversation by saying something like, oh, hey, I got to go use the bathroom real quick. Go use the bathroom and then never come back. depending on where I am.
Here's what you do.
That's a great idea.
I've seen what Keenan does when he's out at a bar and he's trying to get out of a situation. He'll go to his Facebook app and start messaging a person. He'll just look down on his phone. And,
oh, and then eventually they'll just leave.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. They'll just leave.
Until
like,
they leave.
I don't want to get too involved here. So let me go into this other dimension right here known as Facebook and talk to people who are not even here, and maybe this person will go away, just maybe.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
That's so true. And actually a lot of people do that and don't even realize they're doing it in relationships that
right.
they like, actually. But so yeah, exactly. So the constant energy sucker, but a lot of times if it's not just somebody you met at a bar or somebody you just met recently, if it's somebody you've known for a while, this can actually be detrimental.
Mm-hmm.
It can be very detrimental because you're around this person constantly. Like you said, Bill, you dread being around them and you feel basically beaten down when you're around them, and it becomes essentially a problem. So I think once you figure out you're around them, and it could be a family member, it could be a close friend, it could be somebody you've known for years, it could be somebody you just met. And with that respect, if it's somebody you just met, you kind of know what you're getting into, you can make the move out pretty quick, you know? But if you've known them for a while, you will have to discuss with them what's going on. You will have to probably bring it up because you probably owe it to them just because of the length of time you've known each other. Don't know how they're going to take it, but I do know that your health and your body will appreciate it and thank you for doing it. I know that because when you're around negativity all the time, it does affect your health. It does affect your body. It just does.
Well, you've heard the old saying, Ashley, addition by subtraction.
Oh, yeah, that's very good.
I mean,
yeah.
Sometimes if that person is draining that much energy out of you, you're just better off subtracting that person from your life. And I'm sure you'll get more into, you know, ways to do that later in the show.
You know it. So these guidelines allow you to identify energy suckers in your life that come in all forms and relationships. You know, day two in my book, The 10-Day Challenge, speaks directly to anyone who wants to overcome this personal struggle, because I know we've all dealt with it and most people are still dealing with it right now. So when Perspectives returns, we will continue our discussion on the five usual suspects. And later, I will offer you the truth and knowledge to expertly distance yourself from any non-working relationship. So stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, Ashley Burgess, will be back in two shakes.
Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives with Ashley Burgess. The water's warm and there's a swim-up bar. A glass of Perspective, anyone? Now, here's Ashley.
Oh, but I'm craving a little Perspective.
That's it. I'd like some fresh, clear, well-seasoned Perspective. Can you suggest a good wine to go with that?
With,
what, sir?
Perspective. Fresh out, I take it.
I am,
Very well. Since you're all out of Perspective and no one else seems to have it in this bloody town, I'll make you a deal. You provide the food, I'll provide the Perspective.
Welcome back to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. And on tonight's Perspectives, we're discussing who to let go from your friends list, how to do it properly, and afterwards, how to move on with your own life. You know, before we took our break, we were discussing the symptoms of being around an energy sucker. These people, they don't really bear a sign reading over their head, energy sucker, but they usually give you some sort of clues, right? I think the first clue they always give you is negativity. And Keenan, we were just talking about this before break. I mean, some people can be really so negative. And it's not that, sometimes people always know that they're doing it. Other people subconsciously just do it all the time. And some people have never been actually told, hey, you're really negative. I mean, a positive thought here and there would be awesome. But also, sometimes you just can't change other people. If they don't want to change, they don't want to change.
No, I mean, I had a friend a while back, and I did have to get away from him. And actually, the way I did get away from him was by joining the Air Force. That's how I got away from him.
Wow, that's extreme.
Yeah, that was pretty extreme. Well, the thing is, like, every time we would go out, it would be me, him, and my other group of friends, right? And I had a car during the time, and I would drive, and my friends, you know, they would come along with me, and everywhere we would go someplace, we would all contribute to the fun. You know, we would, you know, everyone would buy rounds, you know, that kind of thing. You know, we would all pay our way to get into the club, the bar, whatever. This guy never had money. Like, never had money, never had a job in order to
like,
earn money.
Yeah, kind of like Wimpy from Popeye. Yes. I will gladly pay you on Tuesday for a hamburger
today. He was definitely an able body, right? Yeah. He was able. He could work.
He was able body. He was perfectly able. But the thing is, he could never contribute.
Perfectly able.
He was perfectly. No, he could never contribute.
He was able, I'm telling you.
And the thing is, though, it was like, okay, remember that song Tyrone by Erykah Badu?
Yes.
You know, every time, you know, I have to pay your way and your cousin's way, and sometimes
even your brother's way.
Yeah. It was like that with him, and so it got really annoying. And you know, one of my buddies, he noticed. I think after maybe a year of this, he's like, "Hey, man, you know what? You never buy rounds. You never chip in for anything.
Contribute to
anything. Like you never contribute. You never contribute. When we're watching the game, everyone buys a six pack except for you."
For everybody listening, this is not all about alcohol, huh?
No,
could also constitute buying some food. It could be a barbecue. Yeah. It could be a neighborly barbecue where everybody's bringing food and items to the thing and nobody and somebody doesn't bring anything. And also, constantly never bringing anything.
Or contributing gas money.
Or even, gas money.
No, or even ideas.
Ooh,
that's a
even
good
ideas.
That's
yes,
a good one.
Yes.
So idea, and I agree with you on that. It's like when somebody doesn't ever, and it doesn't always have to be like money. It could be ideas. It could be just also positive thoughts. It could be all kinds of things. When somebody is literally taking all the time. So let me ask you a question. My only question is, you had to leave to go into the Air Force to get away from this guy?
Well, no. I mean,
it was either that or the French Foreign Legion. Okay, you know,
were they taking you to the French Foreign Legion?
No, it was just one of those things. Like, you know what? You know, I'm that age. I gotta get out of town. I gotta see something different. And like I said, I got away from them. And my cousin would still hang out with them. And every time I would see my cousin, he would say, "Hey, I saw your boy, and he is like X, Y, and Z." I'm like, "Oh, you mean the same X, Y, and Z as in 7 years ago?"
I think everybody listening can constitute with that. You know, you got somebody that just doesn't grow. And I think that's like in any relationship, like in a good marriage, people grow. They grow together. They might not grow and learn the exact same things, but they grow up. They grow on. But when people don't grow, when your friends don't grow, when they stay behind and they don't change, they don't ever, you know, mature. They don't get more wise. They just kind of stagnate. That's a different thing. And I think that also constitutes it kind of, you kind of begin to internalize that, especially the negativity underneath the skin. It's like when people like tell you things or they are not contributing, it's like it gets under your skin and you don't want it to, but all of a sudden it does. And there's like this rage, this anger, this rage, like, "I can't believe this. You know, I'm being used by this person. I'm being used or I'm being taken advantage of." And I think also the needy thing, when people are needy. Sometimes that can also be an indicator of an energy sucker when they constantly need you all the time and you're their go-to person all the time for everything.
Yes.
But you know what? You pick up the phone. If you're picking up the phone and a needy person can be very draining, you know, the draining thing.
You know, Ashley, Kenan and I have a ex mutual friend. You know who I'm talking about.
I know
about. You know who
I'm talking
cool, about.
We're still cool, but we're still cool.
Well,
we are.
I mean, maybe you are with
yeah,
him.
Yeah, I'm still cool with him.
I haven't spoken to him, actually, ever since all that other stuff went down.
The debacle,
Yeah, but I mean, that describes
the debacle.
This guy. The debacle. During break, I'll tell you what this is.
Okay, that's not good for the show.
But,
I got it.
Anyway, it describes him to a T. I mean, he was just so needy because it was just one catastrophe after another, especially girlfriend problems.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I was about to say, we have women. Yeah, it was like, you know, women, like, he's like, "I need her in my life." And I'm like, not this again.
And then she would do something to him, and like, "I hate her. I don't ever see her again." The next week is like, "But I love her so much," you know? And he would just need, you know, the time. And
I knew a guy one time. He was in love with this girl back at TCU, and I remember he got a tattoo of her name on his arm. And I remember about a week later, you know, he showed everybody, and then a week after that he said they broke up. And I said, "Well, what are you doing about the name?" He's like, "Already taken care of it." So he shows, like, he had like the Grateful Dead dancing bears that covered the name. And I was like, "Wow, that's great. That's really good. You know, you're going to have to wear a short sleeve shirt for the rest of your life, but that's cool." So then like 2 weeks later, goes and gets her name again because they get back together. And I'm thinking,
in a different place,
what
right?
are you doing? Oh, and a totally underneath the dancing bears. Oh. Okay. So then like a month after that, he's having to get this big lion to cover up all of it because now they're broken up again. And I'm just, it comes to the point where that needy, it's like, you know, in a good relationship, even if it's a friendship, a marriage, just dating, it needs to be two whole people need to come into the relationship. Not two halves, not two quarters, not one third and a half, none of that. It's two whole people come into a relationship, make it solid. And that's even with a friendship. You can't have somebody coming in going, "Oh, you got to pay for everything," or "Where are we going to eat?" and never picks up the check. Or, you know, like you said, Kenan, the whole idea concept, when somebody's not, they're not kind of like, they're not holding up their own weight, just in the whole mental faculties and the whole concept of, we're having a nice mental exchange here. We're having a communication here, but you can't even hold up that. I mean, you know, and somebody's got to give to some level.
Yeah. You know, Ashley, I mean, friendship is not a balance sheet, you know, where one thing has to be equally replaced by another.
You shouldn't be keeping score.
I mean, you don't keep score when you're friends, but when you're the one that's, you know, paying for you know, things every time you go out together, or the, you know, you're paying for the gas, or you're the one, it's on you to come up with all the ideas, like Keenan was saying. I mean, after a while, it's like, you know, there's got to be some kind of reciprocation.
Does. That's life.
Otherwise, it's a one-sided friendship, and you know, that's what sucks the energy, I think, if it's all one-sided.
I'm like, I have a friend. In fact, she's my best friend. And the thing is, I would not exactly call her needy, because the thing is, the needy thing, it comes in pockets. And when she is really needy, when she's like calling me all the time,
blowing up my phone.
But the thing is, it's like really something. I think it's really something, you know, like when she...
You know she's serious.
Yeah, exactly. You know, like I know she's serious. Okay, she's calling me up at 3 o'clock in the morning. What is going on? What is this? You know, or she's calling me up at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Hey, what's going on? What is this? Oh, well, my dad, he's sick. Okay, I can deal with that, you know, as long as it's in pockets, because I do understand that sometimes your friends will need something from you. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, it may not be something physical. You know, it may just be like... They just want you to listen, so they just need your ear.
I agree with you, yeah. And that you brought up a good point. I mean, friendship is not all about, you know, rainbows and unicorns. I mean, there will be difficult times, and Bill, yeah, there's not a score sheet. We're not keeping score. It's not a tally sheet. Oh, I did one thing, and they didn't do anything. It's a give and take, and if it's a friendship that lasts for a long, long time, I mean, it goes through, peaks and valleys and stuff like that as well, because a friendship is normal. I mean, you have people that are growing and maturing and moving on in life, but at the same time, you know, it's a two-way street, and I think that's important. So we got more to talk about that. We have to talk more about the five usual suspects, and I think it's very interesting. Also, the biggest thing about the person that's the energy sucker is you have to just be sure that they're not mirroring you, or vice versa, and we'll talk about that later on. So when Perspectives returns, we are continuing our discovery into the five usual suspects and how to move them quickly out of your life. So stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host Ashley Burgess will be back in two shakes.
This is Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess on 660 The Answer.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host Ashley Burgess. On tonight's Perspectives, we've been discussing who to let go from your friends list, how to do it properly, and afterwards, how to move on with your life. You know, we went through the symptoms of being around an energy sucker and what that usually makes you feel and how you kind of feel when you're around them. So let's move on to the next usual suspect, the proverbial dead weight. You know, this person rarely, if ever, ever has pulled their weight and always looks to you for paying for everything, to do everything, and doesn't lift a finger to help even when they are not busy. This person is always looking for a handout, and they don't pay back in any way. It's not just about money, it's about everything. They're the bottomless pit with no end in sight. You give them an inch, they'll take a mile, and you're kind of left there holding the bag, you know? I mean, and I think a lot of people have dealt with these types of situations where sometimes it can just happen out of the middle of nowhere, somebody can turn into that, but I think most of the time when we meet people, you can kind of see how people are going. You can kind of see the direction. You can kind of see the lane they're in, but a lot of times we keep thinking, because our mind is the way it is, oh, they'll change, or they must have been burned before, so this is just, you know, they're probably just getting used to me as a friend, and they'll eventually come around. Well, you know what? No. I mean, most of the time, people are who they are. You can't go around changing everybody. And you kind of just have to say, hey, if I can live with these issues, great. If I can't, move on. Because a lot of times we invest a lot of time in, especially a proverbial dead weight type person, it can seem kind of hard to let go. I mean, what about you, Billy?
Well, and I've been pretty lucky. I've not gotten involved in friendships with the dead weight type person. But I think we sort of alluded it to on the previous category. I think that, you know, people can become dead weight if they suck the energy out of you and stuff like that. It's kind of like, you know, the mutual friend that Keenan and I were talking
right,
about.
Right, right, right.
Also, people can change, too. Like, sometimes it can start a certain way. Right.
Well, it could. Yeah, it could. I mean, you never know what's going on in that person's life at that particular time. Mm-hmm. You know,
especially when you're just getting to know them.
Yeah, especially when you're just getting to know them. I mean, like, they may be, you know, maybe it's they're having financial troubles, or maybe they're just kind of maybe stuck in this rut, and then they become dead weight. And then next thing they'll say, they get themselves on their feet, they move away, they come back, and all of a sudden it's a totally different person. Mm-hmm. So you never know. I'm like, as far as to intentionally change someone, I don't think that's anyone be able to do that. The thing is, though, I think a person will be able to change themselves. That is, if they're able to maybe get into a different environment.
If they want to. They can change themselves if they want to.
And maybe get into a different environment may help, you know. But however, throughout my life, when it comes to the dead weight, the only person who I can think of that would be dead weight was the person who I was talking about earlier.
Right. Well, that's the thing. It's like, I think the funniest thing, though, about the dead weight scenario is this. The person that's not dead weight perpetuates this relationship straight up. Okay, that's just how it is. I know that a lot of people would like to argue that or fight about that, but it's just true. For example, I have a friend of mine that was, you know, dating someone, and this person is basically proverbial dead weight, and they don't go out of their way to do anything. And, you know, if you need to do anything or want to see them, you have to go to them. And so I basically told my friend, I said, if you really want to stop spending time with this person, all you have to do is not drive over there. I mean, because they're not going out of their way to see you, okay? You're actually keeping them in your life because you're the one calling. You're the one driving over there. If you just stop driving over there and stop calling, guess what? I got a good 85% chance that, you know what? They're not going to call you back. They're not going to call out of the blue. They'll just go away. But you're perpetuating this relationship. And a lot of times we do that, especially with old friends. Now, think about this. I know everybody listening tonight has a friend that at one time y'all were best friends. You got into trouble together, or you went through a life-changing experience together, and you've held on to that experience together forever, but you haven't created any new experiences.
Right.
And so you go out and you drink, or you go out wherever, and all you do is talk about that experience because you haven't created really anything new, but you just keep perpetuating this. Let's talk about the past. But the thing is that probably if you stop perpetuating this and stop calling them, the friendship would probably go away if you can't figure out how to make it new.
You know? Ashley, it's not just friends, but also family members, because I've got a cousin who fits that description to a T, and it'd be like, I'm the one who would always text and call and say, hey, let's get together. And, you know, would always find excuses to put me off or whatever. And I think, you know, after a little while, I just said, well, you know, let's see if he actually calls me.
Right.
6 years later.
Really?
You know, I mean.
Not one call.
I mean, I haven't heard from him. And so I just kind of assumed, well, I guess he didn't want anything to do with me.
Wow. So you were kind of perpetuating the relationship.
Yeah.
Because you were trying to go out there. He's your cousin. You want to be there for him. He's family. And then all of a sudden you kind of say, well, let's just see if he does something. And then when you allow him the chance to do the action, he doesn't respond.
Yeah. I mean, we were raised together too.
Wow.
And I'm now, granted, I'm 10 years older than he is. So it's more kind of a, you know, maybe a sibling relationship than a, you know, cousin relationship. And he's got a family. He's got a child who has a medical condition that requires a lot of his attention. So I get that he's got priorities.
Right.
You know, I'm not saying that we have to hang out every single night. But you know, a phone call, you know, or a text.
That's nice. I mean, it's family. It's family also, too, for goodness sakes. It is family. I mean, just a call or a text would be great. And that would also show you, okay, everything that I've done is not for naught. Everything I've done, you know, and I think it's two ways. It's almost like when you, you know, you text or call and leave a happy birthday to a family member or friend, and you never hear anything back.
Right.
And you're like, well, I mean, either they were really busy or, you know, I'm just not at the top of the list, you know? And a lot of times I think we don't want to think that way. We don't want to know that. We don't want to believe that we're not somebody's best friend. We don't want to believe that we're not at the top of the list. But I know all of us in this studio, and a lot of people listening have gotten that call like at 5 o'clock in the afternoon saying, hey, there's a birthday party. I forgot to invite you. You know, and there's about 100, you know, there's already 100 people going, and you were kind of at the last of the at the list, you know, and you're thinking, well, I guess I'm not in the top 150. I don't know. Maybe I'm in the top 200 of this person's life.
I don't have to be number one.
But the top 250,
I mean, like, I don't have to be anyone's best friend per se. You know, I just like for things to be a little reciprocated, because I do have a friend, and, you know, I will call her. I would call, text. I would hear nothing back. Nothing back.
Nothing, not at all.
Nothing. But the thing is, though, what I came to the realization is that she wants the friendship to be on her terms, because there are some times when she would just blow up my phone. Just blow up my phone. And I'm like, okay, well, here I am.
We're going to talk about that because that's the one when it's only convenient for them.
Yes.
People that are around, and we'll talk about that because it's true.
Yeah.
When they blow up your phone, when they call you four times in a row, mm-hmm. and they haven't returned a call or a text or anything, that should be a red flag. Because one, that either means they're very narcissistic, okay, only thinking of self, or there could be a mental issue there as well. I mean, and being from a counselor, from a therapist point of view, I do know that there are also people get like very stressed out, like they want to talk to you right then and there, but don't have time for you. But we'll talk about that later. But yeah, we'll figure out how you're dealing with that relationship. And most people like to hang on to other people as a crutch, and I think that's kind of a thing too, is that a lot of times we hang on to these people, these usual suspects, as a crutch because we're scared to make new friends. We're scared. We'd rather have, you know, the devil you know. You'd rather have the person around you that you know what they're capable of. You know that, hey, they're not going to pull their weight. I know that they're not going to pay for anything. I know they're not going to do this, but at least I know where they are mentally, instead of starting new. But I think, like you were saying earlier, Bill, right? What was that? You have to make room for new things in your life?
Yeah, exactly. You have to kind of take control of the situation and consciously make the effort to do it. But, you know, actually, another thing that I thought of, too, is that if, you know, you're like the devil that you know, maybe that makes you somewhat needy. Because if you're friends with the person who's dead weight, and you're just perpetuating the friendship, and you're not doing anything about it, do you think that maybe you're needy in some way?
Wow, you're getting ahead of me right now, Bill. You're getting ahead of me. This is all coming up here in a few segments.
I read your notes.
You did, see? This is all coming up. So, like I said, like I kind of mentioned earlier in the last segment, right before we went to break, I said you have to be aware of being mirrored. If there's a mirroring situation, you understand how a mirror works, right? You look in a mirror, you see yourself. Okay, that's what a mirror is. We're not talking about a funhouse mirror. We're just talking about a regular bathroom mirror, okay? But think about people as mirrors, okay? So people can mirror you in different aspects of you. So, for example, if I tell somebody, and I know and I believe in my heart of hearts that somebody is an amazing, deep, quality person, and I tell them that because I believe it and I know it, well, guess what? That means that I have amazing, deep, and I'm a good person. If I see things in other people, I mean, sometimes you can grow through things that haven't been the best of positive things in your life, and you could have grown up from something and seen it in another person and kind of go, okay, I see it, I get it. But other times they can be small things that are within you that are in that other person, but it's just magnified. Okay, so it's magnified because you see it as so bad because it's just in your face because this person is magnifying times 12 whatever it is that you have. And we'll talk about that later because that's really important, the mirroring process, because if you catch that, it's basically making a judgment on them kind of goes against your learning process, and no, we'll go there too.
But what if you're like in Bruce Lee, you know, what if you're in a room full of mirrors and they're just reflecting off each other?
Well, then you're Bruce Lee.
And then you'd be a badass.
You're cool.
What about that person
Kung Fu.
Who is like, it's like their identity totally depends on the people that they're around, the people that they make friends
that's
with. It is dependent on their identity to be around.
Let's talk about that coming out of the break, actually.
That's an awesome idea, Keenan. Awesome. So when Perspectives returns, we're going to be talking about identity, mirroring, and we're going to continue on with our five usual suspects. So stay tuned because guess what? Perspectives with your host, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. Well, we'll be back in two shakes. I can lift you up. I can
show you what you want to see and take you where you want to be. Get in here. Give us your perspective. We're listening. And you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Well said. David, how did that make you feel?
I know my truth.
Excuse me?
I know my truth.
Did you say I know my truth? Oh, boy.
Welcome back to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. On tonight's Perspectives, we've been discussing who to let go from your friends list, how to do it properly, and afterwards, I'm going to explain how you can move on with your life. We've discovered and discussed the constant energy sucker and the proverbial dead weight, and now we're on to one of my favorites, one of my absolute favorites, the big-time users. Big-time users are big-time losers. So this person uses you for people you may know. people you may know, what you can do for them. They may or may not disguise it, right? They might not even disguise it, but when it comes down to being your friend, they aren't around unless the people and the things and what they want to be around is there. So if you're in the hospital or on the side of the road fixing some sort of flat, they're not going to be helping you. Okay, just straight up. If you're moving, they're not going to help you move. These people are usually quite charming, they're very entertaining, and they can also sap your energy because you're not spending time with the friends that really do care. You know, so instead of like hanging out with the ones that are always there for you and the people that really do care and care about your growth and all that kind of stuff, you're hanging out with these people that are just going to be there when it's convenient, but also when they get something out of it. So it's about getting something. So I think the first thing about big time users is they kind of make you feel that you need to take care of them. And I've had a lot of people call that, you know, like when they're dating somebody, the damsel in distress, you know, and so they find the woman and the woman needs this and that and needs all these things. And they go, oh, gosh, she just this little woman and she needs all this help. And so I'm going to be the man in the white horse that takes her and helps her out. Well, a lot of times when we do this, one, that person ends up hating us for it, first off. But two, why do we need to take care of another person? I mean, I don't have anybody to take care of me. I mean, you know, why is it that we instinctively as humans feel, okay, well, I need to take care of this person?
Maybe to be a hero. The hero complex, you know? I mean, think about it. Well, I know for men, you know, we're all raised to become, you know, these heroic gladiators, you know, hey, go over there and attack that tree, you know, or hey, join them. Yeah, you know, hey, yeah.
Attack the tree?
Yeah. Go over there to attack the tree, you know.
Bite it.
Yeah, attack it, you know, climb it, conquer the tree, you know. Or,
you need to watch Bill Cosby someday. I'll tell you.
I'm the tree.
You know, I knew what you're talking about.
Yes, the tree.
Bill Cosby himself, you mean when he was like doing stand up?
Yeah.
All I remember is the dentist scene. The dentist scene is the funniest.
He also had a scene
in the dentist
there
asking him how he's doing and he can't talk. I love that.
I'd be with wondering. But no, he also had a routine in there about how, you know, people raise their sons to be great athletes. You know, go attack that tree, bite it. Ah.
Get it, sick it, so, go.
Anyway, go ahead.
I don't know. Maybe it's within our own selves to feel as if, you know, we have to be able to save the day. I really don't have like this, you know, really logical answer to, you know, why is that we feel as if for that we always need to help somebody else or anything like that.
Well,
I don't know.
You know, Kenny, I mean, you know, I think we're kind of using the example of, you know, damsel in distress,
well, yeah,
you know, type thing. But also, I mean, you know, if you and I have a male friend, you know, right. I mean, we want to reach out, you know, help a brother out.
Right.
Help a brother out. And actually, from a female standpoint, you know, the whole sisterhood thing, you know. So, you know, if you have a female friend, you know, oh, I need help. Well, then, you know, I know you well enough to know that your first instinct is to kind of, you know, wrap them.
Oh, you know, you're right. It took somebody to actually talk to me about this the other day. A friend of mine, this was about a year ago. The other day is always relative for me. One day, like, I got this message from a friend needing help and all this stuff. And so I went to go, like, to help them. And then, like, the next day I had to help them do something else. And finally a friend asked me, they're like, who is this girl that you're helping? And I was like, no, it's this guy. And they're like, wait a second. So a guy is asking you to help with all this stuff? And they're like, well, who was he raised by? And I was like, what do you mean? And they're like, so wait a second. A grown man is asking for help from a woman. And I go, well, yeah. And they're like, wait, step back.
But the whole wuss factor. Yeah.
They're like, step back. They're like, I would never ask you for that kind of help. And I think that the whole gender thing is not necessarily it, but you do have to put it in perspective.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, like, I think that's kind of interesting. Like, what about all the stuff that people are doing online? Not that I have anything against it because some of my friends are doing it, but where they're raising money just for whatever they want on those sites now. And it's like, give me money to go here or give me money to do this bike race or give me money to start this business.
The Kickstarter thing.
Yeah, but when did it become a problem to work? When did it become a problem to raise money the old-fashioned way?
When somebody found out you could just ask for money over the internet and people would give
it
to you.
People would give it to you, yeah.
When we went to UNT, you saw those posters in the...
I remember those posters and everything like that, but like sometimes, you know, I thought it was, you know, kind of for a good cause. Like, I mean, for example, I would do the whole Kickstarter thing, you know, give money for, say, an independent film. You know, I would do something like that, you know, but like, you know, like Ashley said earlier, you know, to give money to, you know, fund my ski trip, I wouldn't, you know, I wouldn't do that. I'm like, no, you work, I work.
Here's my all-time favorite. You're going to like this, Ashley, my breast implants.
Oh. Whoa.
I've seen those. Haven't you seen them?
But that society, though. Doesn't that better society?
Well, depends on the girl, you know what I'm saying?
We're beautifying Mother Earth, you understand? Yeah. I mean, this is like the Garden of Eden here. I mean, what the heck are we going to do? No, I mean, no, but I agree with you. It's like I need to have the ocean view suite, so can you please, you know, help me get an upgrade, you know? Or does anybody have any miles to give away? It's like, oh, yeah, I have miles, you know, I have miles all over the place. Sure, let me give you some of my American Airlines miles.
You know, actually, it kind of goes back to what I was saying earlier, though. People wouldn't be asking if there weren't people around giving. You know,
you also bring up a good point. And for everybody that's listening tonight, most of the time somebody becomes a user in your life because you've allowed them to.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And I have been there. I've been there. I've allowed people to use me.
Well, I have too. Okay, I'll raise my hand as well.
I've done the same thing. You know, I've, you know, helped out a friend, done whatever, give money, whatever. But at the time when I did it, I thought that this person was doing something to help themselves. Mm-hmm. But it's not until months later when you find out that that person is not doing anything to help themselves. You know, because I'll admit it. Yes, I have needed help. I have needed help. But yet I feel as if I've done something to help myself.
Something to contribute, to help yourself.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
I know exactly what you're saying, because I actually had somebody in my life, and I'm not going to name names or point fingers. But, yes, I had somebody that took advantage of me, and I allowed it. Okay, I allowed it because there's two people that participate, right? I mean, it's not just one person taking advantage of you and you're standing there. You have to be involved. And I learned a huge lesson in life, and I did learn, and I learned a lesson that a lot of times in life, if you allow people to use you, they think that they can always use you. They think they can walk over you at all times. And so you've lost, I guess they had no respect for you really in the first place, okay?
Give them an inch, they'll take a mile.
Yes, and there's other people that won't do that for them, okay? So that's the biggest thing. The second thing, though, that's so interesting about the situation is that there's really no remorse. And there's no, hey, I'm going to make it up to you. And I think
so it's like they're entitled.
They're entitled,
yeah.
But you've allowed them to be entitled. You've given them everything. I mean, they're like a kid where you walk into a store, you see it all the time at Target, anywhere you go, and the kid's screaming at the mom, give me this, I want this, I want this, I want this. You know, and so the mom's like, no. The kid starts screaming even louder and louder, and all of a sudden, just to quiet the child down, they go, here, take it.
She gives in.
And all of a sudden, the kid, you see this, like, Cheshire grin coming from this child, knowing that she just manipulated mom in the middle of a store so that there wouldn't be this big scene. But on top of that, now that it's worked this time, guess what? I'm going to do it again. And I'm going to keep doing it throughout my whole life. And that's basically what I aided and abetted with an adult, is I allowed them to use me, and I got used, and then guess what? They'll just continue to play that out throughout their lifetime. I mean, I was like, come on. I'm not bitter like I was. I'm not as bitter. I have forgiven that person, but I will not ever forget. Not ever.
Right.
Not ever. You can't forget those things.
But fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me.
And then a lot of people listening tonight will actually do it again, because you'll forget about it and you'll romanticize in your mind what really took place with that person. Instead of all the problems and the deceit and the deception and the pain, you're going to see all these great times. Oh, I remember when we hung out here. I remember when we went over there. I remember when we did this. And guess what? You'll get sucked right back into it, because they'll talk you right back into doing something. So, big-time users, they can make you feel as though you need to take care of them. They can make you feel that you're lucky to hang out with them in the beginning. They do, and I think a lot of times, too, we can be a little too nice when we're dealing with people like that, because they kind of see you, if you've given in, as a doormat. So, really, anything you're saying is a means to an end at that point. And if they can get you to go in their direction, that's what they want. So it's just a game. They're just playing a game. It's almost like a video game. Are you going to go left? Are you going to go right? Which way? And what do I have to say to you to make you do this? And I know I can, because I've done it before, and I'll do it again. It's worked every time. They use people up, right? And they move on with no remorse or no feelings of sadness, or they don't feel bad about what they've done. And the biggest thing, and this happens in marriages all the time. This happens in marriage a lot more than a lot of people would like to talk about. is the man, normally it's the man, sometimes the women, but normally it's the man that saves the woman, saves in parentheses.
Like what Keenan was talking about, yeah.
And they save them and they help them and they get them back on their feet and they get married to them and they pay for everything and they start up their business, they do whatever it is, and guess what? They get divorced. And throughout that divorce, what happens is she blames that man for everything he did. Because he was wrong. Because she sees all this fault. And the sad thing is that you give everything to the screaming kid. The screaming kid doesn't appreciate it. The screaming kid's not happy with it. And the screaming kid's going to blame you for their psychological problems later on. So when we come back, we're going to be talking more about big time users. We're going to also go into the other two top five usual suspects and talk about how you can leave them clear in the past and move on to a new life. So Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. We'll be back in two shakes.
You're in a good place now. Relax. Breathe. Smile. You've entered into your element, the home of origin, the home of intelligence and entertainment, where relevant topics are discussed, and where what you think counts, and where superior is the norm. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess, live on 660 The Answer.
Welcome back to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. You know, on tonight's show, we've been discussing who to let go from your friends list, how to do it properly, and later on, I'm going to explain how to live your true life. We've discussed the constant energy suckers, the proverbial dead weight, the big-time users become the big-time losers. And now we're on to the next usual suspect. Liar, liar, pants on fire. I think the liar is constantly lying about everything. It's definitely somebody to remove out of that friends list that you have. This person has more issues on their plate than just losing you as a friend. I think the constant liar has to project their lies at all costs. This person will cover up and project on others as well and conjure up lies to divide and conquer friends when the fear of being caught in a lie actually surfaces. You know, I've had a lot of experience with liars, both in the concept of my personal life, my professional life, you know, dealing with clients, that sort of thing. And I think a lot of times, you know, a liar, the ones that really get to me are the ones that instigate problems. Like, they instigate problems, they create issue, they create drama, they bring pain. For example, you know, I dealt with somebody in my past, no names, you know, no names, no faces, no mugshots, none of that, but the person literally lied about so many things and was constantly lying to me, and I had no idea. And it wasn't until it was brought to my attention by some random third party that I started seeing, like, what was kind of in front of my face. And I didn't realize it because I wasn't around this person 24/7 to know what was going on. And then the next thing you know is that when I kind of divide up ties from this person, they're projecting onto other people some things that are going on. They're lying about me because they don't want me to talk to that other person at all. Not that I would sit there and talk about them, but they're so scared that all their lies are going to come out that they just start telling lies all over town. I mean, it's like the way that they do business, because they think, okay, like, for example, you know, Bill, if it was between somebody that you and I knew, and they would literally, you know, tell Bill, oh, hey, Bill, by the way, you know, Ashley told me some bad stuff about you, or Ashley was talking stuff about you. And then it gets to you where you're thinking, oh, really? Oh, so she's talking about me? Well, I'm just not. Yeah, okay, well, when I see her, I'm just going to be a little cold. I'm just going to act like that. I'm not going to get too close to Ashley because she's up to something. And the whole thing is that person got to both of us now. And now our relationship is messed up because we don't know that we need to talk. We don't know that there's something in between. And so I've experienced that. I don't know about y'all, but it can be a major waste of time. And it can also put you into some problems.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that's the type of person that needs to be the center of attention. And they want the drama to revolve. And
they create the drama.
Yeah, they create the drama. And they're also insecure on the inside. So they want to project this personality.
So create a spotlight.
Invent this personality and project it out to other people and start telling lies about this and that and the other. And this person said this and that person said that. And pretty soon it's all revolving around this person.
Or, like, they even start telling lies about themselves, about how well they're doing, and really they're not doing that
well.
That's
what I'm saying. They're insecure.
Yeah, they're insecure. And the thing is, though, they start to, oh, yes, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, and the third, you know, just so, I guess, others can look at them in a good light, but really it's not going down like that. And it's like, come on, dude, stop lying. just tell the truth. I'm like, if you need help, I will help you, but at least be honest with me about
yeah.
it. You know what I mean? I do have a friend like that who lies constantly, and she lies a lot whenever, you know, we're hanging out, or like even when it comes to making plans to hang out. It's like she would instigate it. It's like, hey, we're gonna hang out on such and such date. Okay, fine. That date comes along, nowhere to be found.
Well, now right? is this person a true friend though, or more of what you would call an acquaintance?
Oh, wow.
See, Ash, wow. I mean, that's a big thing of mine, is that I define friendship as, you know, maybe tighter right. than most people do.
There's levels of friendship.
Yeah, there's levels of friendship. I would have to say leaning more towards the acquaintance side. I mean, if you was to talk to her, she might say something different.
Right.
She might say something like,
but I mean, how can she be a true friend? Like a really
if she's a liar, how can she really lies? Be a true friend?
And you know it.
Yeah. I don't know. She can't be a true friend.
Yeah.
Well, she's really not even a friend to herself.
No, she's not a friend to herself.
I mean, because she wouldn't be lying. I mean, because if somebody really is consciously aware of what's going on, you know, they might screw up some facts now and then. But all in all, you know, honestly, they're not going to have any of these issues. You know what I mean? They're not going to be constantly dead weight. They're not going to be lying. I mean, because there's no reason to lie. You know, I mean, why lie? I mean, like earlier today, somebody asked me a question and I responded back with, oh, I totally forgot. I mean, I could have responded back with, oh, why everything got in the way and all this stuff, but I just said I forgot. And they were like, oh, okay, cool. No big deal. And it's just like being honest is so much easier than trying to come up with some sort of fabrication. I mean, especially when somebody's actually calling you to set up plans. It's like, you called me and now you're nowhere to be found. Like, I don't get that at all. I mean, that to me sounds some sort of manipulation, or maybe she doesn't remember what she did next. Or what she said before.
I think she remembers. I think she remembers. But what I think it is, I mean, it goes back to what Bill said, you know, with the world revolving around them, you know, kind of like the days before Copernicus, whatever. But the thing is, it's just, that's just how she is. She wants the spotlight on her, and she just has this need to, you know, create drama whenever she sees the opportunity to do it.
Did you catch the Copernicus
yes,
reference there?
I did.
You know, get it, Ashley? You know, or sun revolving around?
No, I got it. That okay. was pretty actually clever. I like that. I don't know how many heads it went under or over. I don't know, but I did like that. I liked it a lot.
Sorry, guys.
That was good. I liked it. That was actually pretty deep. That was cool.
It was deep.
It was cool.
Yeah.
So let's talk about that. Let's talk about heavy manipulators, because I think liars is a subsidiary of manipulation. Okay. So like you said, Bill, somebody that revolves around them, just like you were saying, Keenan, about this woman, most of the time it's manipulation. So they might be trying to see if they can manipulate you into feeling a certain way. You know, oh, are they really that close? Are they going to be upset that I don't make it? I'm just not going to show up. Are they going to worry about me? You know, and so you have all these different levels of manipulation, as well as when people lie to other people and constantly lying to keep people separate. That's constant manipulation, because they're manipulating a whole group of people to feel or think a certain way about someone else. Oh, okay, well, I can lie enough to make this person where they don't talk to this person anymore. And because I'll tell them enough lies about this person that they won't even want to be in the same room. And then I'll watch them when they ignore this person and basically shun this person, and they've done absolutely nothing.
So maybe, is there a jealousy factor here? You know, like I said, maybe they want to be the center of attention. So it's like, well, you know, I'm just going to create drama between those two so that, you know, I can be best friends with this person.
That's a good observation. I think sometimes it's just constant manipulation. I think it's about getting attention. I think you're right about that. I do think that sometimes people lie just arbitrary. I do think that people lie and get caught, and they don't want to get caught. And that's the thing that always kind of bugs me about people that don't tell the truth, is that you always wonder, did they just tell you finally that they weren't telling the truth because it was just about getting caught? And like, it's like when you see somebody that gets caught, you know, having a marital affair with, you know, against their wife or husband, and they're crying and everything else. And you say, are you crying because you're crying because you're sad about what you did, or you're crying because you got caught? And I had something happen recently in a situation where somebody told me they were going to do something and they didn't do it. And I found out about it, and I got to actually see the paper and see actually in the blue ink. I got to see it for myself, factual evidence that this person went against exactly what they said they were going to do. And there was another person between us that when they found out about it, because I said, I only told one person about this and I thought I could say it in confidence. Well, they got so angry about it, they went to the other person and said, I know what you did. Hmm. Okay. By the way, you know, she knows what you did. And I didn't know that that was even said. So one day there I am walking along, I'm coming in the office, and this person stops me and is crying. And he's like, I'm really sorry and all this stuff. And I thought that they had just come to me because they cared, because they wanted to be honest and straight up. And I was like, well, thank you for doing that. That means a lot to me. It hurt my feelings that you didn't do what you said you're going to do, but at least you were honest with me. And, you know, hey, thanks a lot. Well, then later on, when I find out that they were told by this other person, I was like, oh, so they were just crying because they got caught. They weren't crying and showing me affection because they felt bad. They never thought they were going to get caught. And so when I found that out, I kind of got angry with the other person too, because I was saying, I really don't want people knowing that I know their business. I would rather sit back and let people be the way they're going to be, because that's a lot better, because you get to see people for who they are when you let them be who they're going to be. Because if you go around telling everybody, I know your story, I know what's up, I know you lied, you're not going to get anywhere, because people are going to be walking on eggshells. And on top of that, they're going to be even more false than they've ever been. And so when you get to see people honestly for who they are and their own petri dish, it's better than them knowing that you know. And so when I found that out, at first I thought she was actually crying out of remorse, but then I found out she was crying because she got caught.
Well, it's like, well, for me, a red flag is when a person who I know walks up to you and say, I heard. That's how, you know, they start a sentence with the words, I heard this, I heard that, I heard the
third. Or so-and-so said.
Oh, yeah, or so-and-so said, you know, and I'm like, whoa, why are you even coming at me with this? That's just something I don't like, and I think it's a red flag.
I agree. Red flags are red flags, and we're going to get more into that as well. We're going to talk more about the human condition. We're going to talk more about the five usual suspects when we return. So when Perspectives returns, we'll continue our discussion, and guess what? Perspectives with me, your host, Ashley Burgess, will be back in, we'll be back in two shakes. I'm
learning to fly. Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives with Ashley Burgess. The water's warm and there's a swim-up bar. Glass of Perspective, anyone? Now, here's Ashley.
Hey, welcome back to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. On tonight's Perspectives, we've been discussing who to let go from your friends list, how to do it properly, and later on, I'm going to explain how you can move on to live your true life. So far, we've discussed the constant energy sucker, the proverbial dead weight, the big-time user equals the big-time loser, the liar, and now we're going to begin our dissection of the person who's only around when it's convenient for them. You know, this person is only around when it's easy. They're only around when it's fun for them. It's like a fair weather friend with very little to offer. This person is at the least of their worries, about time and about taking your time. And it's all about what suits them. And I know Keenan was talking earlier about the concept of the fair weather, the convenient for them friend, and they're only around when it's easy for them. And I think you were talking about that a few segments ago.
Yes, I was. I was talking about this person, and you know, I don't like keeping bringing her up. But the thing is, though, it's like
this person's face comes into your mind.
I mean, like not her face, but like just her entire silhouette comes into my mind every
wow.
time.
Well, you know whose silhouette comes to my mind. You know,
yes.
It's like the Alfred Hitchcock silhouette kind of thing. Boom, and if you see it by the door, and you're like, oh, that's her.
Oh, man. Oh, here she comes. And I'm just going to be like, bye, Felicia. But anyway.
Bye, Felicia.
Wow.
But no, it's just that, you know, as I said earlier, it's always, you know, when it's ever convenient for her and everything like that, you know. But at the same time, though, I mean, I know someone who was the complete opposite of her, and she just completely rocks.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, I know someone who's just the complete opposite. It does not matter, you know, whether, I mean, you might be, you know, high on the hog or down on a ditch or something like that. She's there.
She's there. She's a friend.
Yeah, she is always there. I'm like, you know, she's there, you know, whenever, you know, life is going good for you, you know, hey, you know, hey, let's hang out. Okay, let's go. You know, but when everything is going bad, when stuff is like crumbling down, guess what? She is still there.
Well, that's a good friend.
Yeah. Now, you notice something about my man Keenan here.
Right.
You notice when he's talking about all these friends, it's always a she.
It is always women.
He's got so many female friends. That
yes, I do. I have a lot of female friends.
I was telling him he's got so many numbers in his phone that if he had to look up somebody, it would take him like 30 minutes.
Well, you know, I'm not going to say anything about that. I'm not saying anything about that. No, but, you know, that's the thing, though. I mean, woman, man, whatever. I mean, the concept is if somebody's there for you all the time, though, and you're there for them, that's a great friendship. That's it. I mean, that rocks. You're right. That person's solid and shows it, because it's not always when it's the good times, and it's not always when it's the bad times, because some people like bad times. You have to understand that, too. I don't know if you've had anybody around you.
Well, that's what we're talking about tonight, is, you know, the people who invite more of the bad times than the good times. You remember a couple weeks ago, Ashley, how I defined friendship?
Oh, it's, yeah.
You know, a good friend
like is... like Google Plus friendship you're talking about.
A good friend is someone who will bail you out of jail. But a really good friend is somebody who's in the jail cell with you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was like when I was in the Air Force. I mean, there was no such thing as, you know, you got in a fight, you got in trouble. It was always, we got in a fight, and we got in trouble, and we had to go see the first sergeant. That's how it always was in the Air Force.
That's awesome. You're like, we all did it together. You know, brotherhood.
And remember the story about the jail cell in Juarez?
Oh, yeah. You know, he was in a jail cell in Juarez. Bill was.
We got taken to the jail cell in Mexico.
Bill doesn't remember a lot of it either, so I tried to get details.
I just remember waking up in the jail cell like, oh, I don't feel so good.
I tried to get details from him. He claims he doesn't remember. I'm not going to sit there and push it too much, but he claims he has no memory. Maybe that's true. Maybe that's how he ended up in the jail cell to begin with. I don't know, but I'm still interested in hearing about that. We will get that information out of you at some point.
Interrogation.
Oh, yeah, interrogation, lights coming out, big lights, big Mole Richardson lights coming out real quick. Yeah, no Fresnels on them either, just straight at you. You know, so let's talk about how do we get our life back? How do we get our life back? How do we distance ourselves from these five types of people? How do we do it? And let's be sure, honestly, first off, that we're not mirroring. It's not a mirror of ourselves. But first off, I think the best thing to do is to ignore and refocus our time and energy from people, and eventually they'll get the hint. And I think this works well when it's a short-lived friendship, when there's little time invested in the friendship. You know, in a short-lived relationship, you don't owe anybody anything, really. And the length of time someone has been in your life is a significant marker to identify who is owed a face-to-face chance to say their piece. So I think in situations when you first just meet somebody and you've only been hanging out for a few weeks or whatever, you met at a bar, you met down, whatever, you met him at church, whoever. But if it's only been a few weeks and you're already seeing these issues and it's not bringing you any joy and vice versa, you can pretty much end it normally by just kind of refocusing your energy. I mean, just not calling. I mean, it's not that you're not returning their calls, but really normally they probably just won't even reach out to you. I mean, that's been my experience.
No, we're stop being proactive.
Yeah, stop holding it up. Stop being the crutch. Stop, you know, when it's not working, normally in a lot of these personalities, they're not going to come back after you. I mean, it's just, they'll find someone else. They'll refocus their energy. They'll find someone else that's right there. And, but I think for the people that have long-term friendships, like a significant amount of time, I think a personal meeting is definitely in order, because you can't ignore someone like this, and you can't really refocus because there's been so much time. I think you have to step up to the plate and take care of it. You need to set up a meeting with them.
Well, you know, Ashley, I think that brings up a good point for all five of these categories. And just to go off a little bit on a tangent, but
tangents are good.
Tangents are good. As long as you kind of bring it back here,
I'll try.
The level of friendship, I think, is important here. Like, if we don't know each other very well, okay, we haven't been quote unquote friends for a very long time, then you know, I think that I would just kind of like not be proactive about it and just kind of let it wither and die on the vine.
Yeah.
But if it's somebody that I've been friends with for a long time, then I think I would do just kind of what you did. It's like, you know, bro, we got to sit down and talk.
Yeah, and you need to find a place that you can talk, okay? You don't want to go to a restaurant where you have to lower your voices. You don't want to have to go somewhere where you feel like everybody's listening to what you're talking about. You really need to go somewhere that you can have some privacy, that you can have a real conversation. That's what I always laugh about is when somebody's breaking up with somebody in a relationship, and the guy always picks the quietest Italian restaurant, because they know that the girl can't scream and she's not going to cry too loud. So he's like, okay, I'm going to pick that place, you know? And I think that you have to pick somewhere that you can have a conversation, because you have to give them the option to explain, but you also have to bring up what the issue is that you have. If it's somebody that's close to you, and let's just say that they're lying to you and you've caught them in countless lies, and you bring it up to them, you say, hey, our friendship means a lot to me, but you've been lying about this, this, and that, and we need to talk about it because it's starting to affect how I feel about our relationship. Now, there's two sides people can go. You never know how they're going to take this. I'm not telling you they're going to say, okay, yes, I want to better myself right now. Tell me how I can be a better person. They might storm out. They might leave. they might tell you some stuff that I can't say on this on the air right now. They might say some stuff to you like that. They might also go back and argue with you. They might find fault in you. They might turn around and say, well, you did this. And so you have to be prepared for whatever's going to come back. But if their friendship means enough to you, you got to stick in there and do it.
Well, it's kind of like the mutual friend that Kenan and I have. And I finally just, you know, had the confrontation. And it got heated. And we exchanged words. And that was kind of it.
Well, so, you're very final about stuff.
You know me. I'm just like, you know, I'm black or white as far as, you know, whether or not I want somebody in my life. And I keep my circle of true friends small. And I think that that's the reason why I do it is because, you know, I don't want a large circle of people who may try to take advantage of me.
Well, you also like to have friends that are all around good people. They have a lot going on.
Yeah.
They're not doing all this. And so it's okay. You accept it's okay from acquaintances that if they do lie a little bit, if they do this, if they are more of a taker, you're not seeing them that often. So it really
right.
doesn't matter to you.
That's exactly it.
And so,
yes.
And so it doesn't affect you that much.
Right.
But if it's somebody around, like, for example, if you and I were having an issue, and I mean, we would have to talk it out because it would affect our entire relationship. It would affect this program. It would affect our friendship. And a lot of times we're too scared to bring it up because we know somebody, we don't want to really say anything. But the problem is that makes even more of a wedge because every little thing they do after that, you know, you just want to scream at them. I mean, I remember when I was even a kid, my dad and I had an argument, and it was, I let it go on and fester. I love that word, fester. Oh. And I remember I just went off on him when he asked me to take the trash out. And it wasn't anything about the trash. It had nothing to do with the trash. And I've realized since I was a little kid, I would hold things in, and then I would just lash out. And I don't want to do that anymore. So a few years ago, I said, okay, when things get to a point where I feel it instantaneously, if you can, the best thing you can do is talk about it right when it happens. So right when it happens, if somebody does something to you right then, say, hey, can we talk a second? Because I don't really like the way I felt about that, or I don't like the way that that made me feel, or the comment you made, or why did you say this? Because if you wait, one, it's got less power. Two, you'll probably forget about it. Three, you'll allow it to mount up to other things. I mean, it's almost just like dealing with a dog, okay? So if you have a dog and you come home and the dog has urinated on the floor, right? You want to do something immediately. You don't hurt the dog. You point out what happened, and you do it really quick because a dog's memory is short for the most part. And so just like most people's memories are short, they don't remember what they did yesterday. And if they're lying and doing all that stuff, they're not going to remember. You need to point it out right now.
Not that this has ever happened to you, right?
No, not that it's never happened to me. My dog is perfectly trained.
Exactly.
He's perfectly trained.
But he's a good dog.
He's oh my gosh, he's so cute. Okay, well, we'll talk more about him later. So stay tuned because we're going to continue talking about making this distance, creating happiness, getting that life that you've always wanted. And also we're going to go into more depth of how you actually distance and what level of distance that you want to actually accomplish. So stay tuned because Perspectives with me, your host, Ashley Burgess, will be back in, we'll be back in two shakes.
This is Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess on 660 The Answer.
Hey, welcome back to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. You know, on tonight's Perspectives, we've been exploring and discussing who to let go from your friends list, how to do it properly, and afterwards, how to move on and live your true life. We've been discussing the constant energy sucker, the proverbial dead weight, the big time user, the liar, and the person who's only around when it's just convenient for them. Right before break, we were actually discussing, you know, how to actually begin to move past and to discuss these issues with friends. You know, if you have just recently met this person or it's a young relationship, you can basically ignore and refocus your energy. I mean, if it's been a long-term relationship or an older relationship, you really do want to sit down with this person and discuss the issues or problems that have arisen. And a lot of times, if you can, you want to start doing that now, but if you can, you want to begin doing this when it happens. Because a lot of times we wait until, you know, things fester, if somebody's lying or somebody's taking advantage of you, what have you. You wait till it's too late. And you wait till it's almost irreplaceable, irreparable for yourself. And sometimes that can be a problem because you terminate the relationship automatically because you can't handle it anymore because they've gone past the ability to make up for it. And had you had just had this conversation earlier, maybe you could have salvaged the relationship. I mean, and I think a lot of times that happens for us. So let's begin talking about the distancing and how you distance. Because I think Bill actually talked about it earlier about, you know, the levels of distancing. Like, you do permanent distancing. Like, between you and Keenan, y'all's friend, you permanently just dissolved yourself in that relationship.
Broke it off and haven't looked back.
Wow. So yeah, that is one way of distancing. One level is permanent ending the relationship, okay? The second level of distancing is for a specific length of time, okay? And the third is to distance yourself indefinitely. So permanent means ending the relationship, means you're definitely done, okay? You know, and I think that's interesting because that means that you can't go back. You can't do anything. You've decided that this friendship is toxic, it's caustic. You make your peace, you move on. Okay. And I think we've all had a few relationships like that. I've had a very few like that. And it was the best thing for everybody to move on, or at least it was the best thing for me, because it was caustic. But I think also you can distance for, you know, indefinitely distancing an individual gives them the right to come back if they make necessary changes. And I think the option exists for you to take them back. And I think that's important too. So if you distance for a specific time, let's say, and you say, hey, let's take a break. Let's take a breather and let's come back and look at this maybe in a few months, or let's discuss this in a few weeks. Sometimes that can redo an entire friendship because they can realize what they've been taking for granted. They can also look at changing their ways. But again, people have to want to change. It can't just be about you. It can't just be about y'all's friendship. It has to be like, man, I really need to take a bigger step in my life. I need to be a better person. I need to look at what I'm doing. And if they come back in a few weeks and say, hey, now I get what you're saying. I understand it might take me some time. I might need to work at it. I really, if you can be there for me, I might not be doing it totally correct, but I'm going to do my best to change. That's something to look at. And I think some people do offer that. And I think there are some friendships that are worth trying that out.
Well, yeah, I mean, like for me, from my one friend from back in high school, I just permanently distanced myself from him. I mean, even when I joined the Air Force and then came back, you know, after 6 years, I did not get in contact with him. I know my cousin is still in contact with him until recently, actually. I saw my cousin last month, and he told me that he completely distanced himself from our old friend from way back when. Because it's like the guy has not changed since 1993. It's like he has not changed since 1993.
That's 11 years.
I know it is.
That's a long time.
We know it is. Yes, we know.
Like the iPhone wasn't even invented back then.
No, it was not.
I mean, that's...
There was
you
barely...
you did not do that. You just defined time by the iPhone.
By Apple, you know?
Wow, I wish I still had more stock in that company. That was great. That was awesome.
Like I said, you know, he had a little change since way back when. And I remember, you know, back when we were in high school, we would bust our little freestyle raps. And we would have dreams of growing up and becoming famous rappers in the underground scene, kind of like the Wu-Tang Clan or whatever. But the thing is, what happened was I realized that, hey, that's never going to happen for me. So I think I need to do something else. So I went and I, you know, raised my right hand, joined the armed forces, and I moved off to California, traveled the world, saw some stuff, had some new experiences, made new friends. Then I came back and decided to have another new experience and go to college and once again meet new people.
There you go. So instead of taking the Wu-Tang Clan route, you took the KRS-One route.
Correct.
Yeah. Gotcha.
Well, hold on now. But the thing is, no, Jizza from the Wu-Tang Clan, he's actually doing a program with a professor from Columbia University, and they're going to the inner cities, and they're teaching kids science through hip-hop. And in fact, Neil deGrasse Tyson is down with that.
I see.
Mm-hmm. So, is the first name of that doctor, is it Dr. Carl? What's his name? Do you know?
His name is Christopher... Edmund, something like that.
Yeah, because we'll talk about this off the record, but there was some interesting, there was a couple of professors from Columbia that I recently, they were actually working on some inner city teaching mathematics and science, but I don't know, we'll have to, DeGrasse, what is his name?
Neil deGrasse Tyson. Yeah,
he's great. We got to have him on here too. Yeah, so.
I'll get to work on that.
Yeah, well, yeah, do it. Well, I'll be getting to work on that. So we're talking about the concept of distancing yourself. So you got permanent, which obviously Bill is aware of. Distancing for a specific time. I think this gives people a chance to kind of figure it out. And then I think also sometimes you have to distance yourself indefinitely. So you're not sitting there saying, hey, the friendship's over, I never want to see you again. You're not saying that. But you're also not saying, hey, let's talk in a month. Basically, you're kind of allowing the universe to come together, and if it works out that y'all are to be friends or in a relationship, then you will. Otherwise, you won't.
You know, and you, at least in my case anyway, Ashley, and in my experience, you don't even have to have like a specific conversation. Hey, let's, you know, kind of take a break for X amount of time and, you know, talk again. I think, you know, a lot of times it's just kind of unspoken agreement. You know, we need to kind of go to our separate corners here. And when it feels right, then one or the both of us will get a hold of each other and, you know, kind of try it again.
If it works out.
Yeah.
But you're not going to hold your breath. And I think also, though, for the other people that are kind of fair weather or the people that kind of came into your life very quickly, I don't think you have to do anything. I don't think you have to set up a meeting. I don't think you have to do anything, because I think many times the users and the fair weather people come in so fast with lots of energy, but they leave just as fast. And I think for the most part, they leave, they enter your life, and they monopolize your time. And these same people, if you don't do anything, we usually get bored of you, and they'll just move on. They'll just move on because they'll find someone else. I mean, they'll meet people, you know, you're just a dime a dozen. They'll meet other people too. And if you don't call them to do something, they'll just move on.
You're a speed bump.
Yeah, you basically, yeah. And it may take a few weeks, even a month, but they do move on. And remember, a user is looking to use, right? So a user is always going to find someone that they can use. And if you're not around to be used, then they'll find someone else who is. Okay, because they need to basically find someone to fit into that position. And if they're looking for fame and fortune and to be at the right place at the right time, I always think that's interesting. And you have some people that were like that. Don't be surprised that you actually see them at places you go. Okay, you might actually run into them. But remember, thank goodness they moved on. And when you see them, I think a lot of times you need to be polite. You know, you're the ambassador of consciousness and living. You're the ambassador of love. You should be loving. You should be, you know, polite. You don't have to be like all really nice and huggy and all this stuff, but you can say, hey, how you doing? Good to see you. You know, but just don't take them back and don't let them talk you into it too, because if it didn't work out, it probably won't work out again in that situation. But I think a lot of times we also get resentful, and you have to just forgive them. You got to forgive what happened, but you got to forgive yourself, because even like in the time when I was taken by somebody that really used me, the problem was is that I hadn't forgiven them. And I hadn't forgiven myself for getting in the situation. So finally, when I forgive them, I realized I still hadn't forgiven myself, because I felt like I had duped myself into
You're
it.
You're like, why did I do that? How could I have been so stupid?
Yeah. And it gets to you. It mentally breaks you down. And so like I was talking about the other day about how when you're fighting other people, like when you're fighting yourself inside, you can't win a fight with anybody else. And the other thing is, it's not about fighting, but when you're fighting inside internally, everything else looks like a fight. And so you come out fighting all the time. You're like the tiger in the corner, lying in the corner going, I'm going to come out fighting. But that's just because you're fighting yourself. And so when I was able to finally say, hey, I made a mistake, I screwed up, but you know what? It takes two people, and I'm over it, and I'm going to forgive myself. And it didn't take just that one time I said, I'm going to forgive myself, it's over. No, it was a process, and it was a constant conscious process of me realizing when I was doing something that basically goes back to the fact that I was upset for what had happened, because our actions speak louder than words to us sometimes, right? We can do things out of things that we've done in the past, not necessarily the things that's like right in our headset, you know? And I think that's important. I think that a lot of times too, you just want to be polite. And when we come back, I'm going to give you some golden nuggets for keeping your friend garden clean. Because I think if you look at your friends, it's almost like a garden. And when you have other people in there that aren't working and things that aren't helping, it's kind of like the weeds. So you got like all the flowers and you got all the weeds growing up. And
gotta pull them out.
Now that's what I call perspective. You're either a flower or you're a weed. That's perspective.
Or you're a mosquito. So you got mosquitoes out there too. Skeeters.
Or your honeybee going around. Oh, okay, never mind.
Honey,
I think the honeybee analogy is kind of
It's kind of cute though. You do have the whole
but
like
bees
world.
Sting.
Yes, they do.
Yes, they sting.
But they die when they sting though.
Oh yeah, they just
Sad. They don't want to sting you. They just sting out of like because oh my gosh, they're next to me. Oh my gosh, they sting. But no, you're right. That's cute. Actually, I like the bee. What about like little hummingbirds or something? But with daily maintenance of this garden and personal discovery, you can have a delightful group of friends, and they'll add to your life. They'll bring joy to your life, which is so cool. So when perspectives, when me AB comes back, we'll be back. I guess we'll be back here, and we'll come back in two shakes.
I can lift you up. Show you what you want to see and take you where you want to be.
Get in here. Give us your perspective. We're listening. And you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess. We'll be safe and sound.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. You know, on tonight's Perspectives, we have been discussing how to let go of some of the friends on your friends list, how to do it properly, and how to move on and live your true life. You know, right before break, I was talking about how, you know, your friends are like a garden, and it's like a friend garden, and you want to keep it clean, you want to keep it free of weeds. And if you look at the weeds, those are the ones that are like the liars, the cheaters, the people that get in the way of your happiness and joy, and the ones that can just kind of take the time that you could be spending with other people. You know, we discussed exactly earlier how to distance yourself. We discussed the length of time that works best given the particular situation and the length of the friendship. And now for the goal. Golden nuggets for keeping a clean, weed-free friend.
Here we go.
Garden.
Drum roll, please.
Because it is best to see your friends as a garden.
Yes.
I think it's great. You know, you water, you weed, and you take care of your friends much like flowers. And when you tend to your friends, you have what? Lasting friendships.
Yes.
And when you weed the garden, you keep it clean, allowing you more time to spend with your healthy friends. More time to spend with your healthy friends. So how do you keep a solid, healthy, and joyful garden of friends? First, give and take. Right?
Right.
Keenan,
right.
You know that. Give and take. You got to sometimes give, sometimes you take, but you want relationships that are both ways. You don't just want one way. You got to have both. Everybody's got to understand that. And when both people understand that, it's perfect. It's a great relationship.
Like I said earlier, it's not a balance sheet.
No, but, you know, but not,
it's,
both
it's like equal 50-50. But yeah, I mean, you know, if like your friend earlier, if you're going to come up with ideas and you're going to kind of, you know, buy the round for everybody. You know, I mean, reciprocate.
Eventually, right. You know, eventually down the road, yeah, just do it, you know, and they'll do it. It's not, it doesn't have to be in the same form, but they'll be there. Like, if you need something, they'll be there, vice versa, you'll be there. And you don't think about those kind of things.
No, you don't. I mean, you don't think about it. In fact, it just kind of happens. And the thing is, when it happens, you don't even think that it is happening until later on, like maybe a month from whenever it happened that, oh, okay, yeah, she did do this for me, or he did do this for me. And, like, I remember when I did this for that person.
Yeah.
And like you said, I mean, it's not a spreadsheet or anything like that, but for some reason, it just all balances itself out.
It just works out.
Yeah.
Because it's supposed to.
It just works out. And, like, I remember earlier, you know, you're speaking about, you know, having the indefinite amount of time, you know, to stay away from a certain person or whatever. Well, my best friend and I, we actually do that. And the thing is, though, it's like we just do it. We don't say that we're going to do it. It's like, you know what? We just, we'll like stay away from each other for like maybe a month.
Yeah, I've had friends like that that I've known for 15 years.
Yeah, well, yeah. My best friend and I, it's been like over 20.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And then we just come back together and like didn't miss a beat.
You're on the same path. You know everything. You might have missed a few things that happened, but they catch you up in the first 30 minutes.
Yeah, within the first
30 minutes.
Minute, and then it'll keep going. And going, and then 2 hours later, she's still telling me about what happened. But I still listen. I mean, yeah, it's my bestie, you know?
But you know, it's also because, you know what that is, though? It's about purpose. And it's about when two people have purpose in a relationship, that's why it comes together. Mm-hmm. When two people want things to work out, that's why. When they have good intention, that's when it works out. When they have good, positive intention, when they want to see the best for you. So what about seeing friendships for what they truly are, not the romantic version? I think this is important for all our listeners. You have friendships out there that, you know, once some time has passed, you forget all the bad stuff. You forget all the stuff that happened, and you only see the romantic side of the things that happen. You want to always forgive situations no matter what, especially even if you divide off from someone for a lifetime. You definitely want to forgive them, but you don't want to forget, because if you forget, you'll make the same mistakes. And there's a reason why we have these issues in our life. There's a reason why we go through this, is because sometimes people will say, oh, we go through the same thing over and over again. It's a cycle. Well, no, you have the ability to end the cycle. That's the key here, is that you're going through a process over and over again because you're supposed to experience it, because you didn't do it right. You haven't done it right yet. You're going to do it again. So until you get it right, you can't end the cycle. So eventually you got to step up to the plate and do what's right. And eventually you got to sometimes let people go, but also be cool with it and accept it and forgive what they did.
You know, Ashley, this is why I hate rom-coms.
Who?
Rom-coms, romantic comedies, you know, chick flicks.
Oh, those?
You know?
Why?
I mean, and oh, by the way, Kenan, I hate rom-coms, okay?
Who calls it rom-coms?
I've heard that term a lot.
I've never heard that.
No, romantic comedies, you know,
okay,
chick flicks.
Okay, so for everybody listening, he's talking about romantic comedies.
Yeah, I've heard that term.
Chick flicks.
Yeah, chick flicks. Yeah. Because they're not realistic, you know? It's real life doesn't have Hollywood screenwriters.
Well, of course not.
And
real life doesn't always end great. The guy doesn't always come back, and all the stuff happening in between, and then all of a sudden they show back up.
It's not like Pretty Woman where, you know, the guy comes riding up in a white limousine, you know?
She was also a prostitute in the film. So, I mean, but they romanticized the whole concept. See, they romanticized it.
Yeah, they romanticized it.
Because otherwise that wouldn't end in a normal... That's not going to end where they get married. I mean,
not in real life. That wouldn't end like that. I mean, like, in real life, it would have been like, okay, I'm done with you. You can leave now. And whenever I need you, I will come and get in contact with you. You do not contact me.
Yeah, because
if they contact each other,
But let's get off that subject pretty quick. I think we should tiptoe away from that. Thanks, Bill. Thank you. No, but I understand where you're coming from. The whole concept is that people watch these films and think that life is like this. They think that their friendship's like this. And no, if somebody's done you wrong, you know, forgive it, but don't forget it. Okay, so the next thing is you want to be honest, right? Honesty is really sometimes underrated. It should be the top thing. Be honest with people, because guess what? They can't read your mind. If you lie to them, they don't know. So if you're honest, if honestly you feel a certain way, step up to the plate and say, hey, I feel this way. Because if you allow a wedge to get between you and other people because of something you haven't said or something you feel, that's your problem. And it's sad because you're going to ruin the friendship. You're going to ruin the relationship over something that you weren't honest about.
Yeah.
If something affects you, speak up. Say it in a nice way. Figure out a time that you can be around that person by themselves and discuss it. Honesty is all you have. And you know what? Honesty is the easiest thing. Everything else is all difficult. And everything else, it just causes havoc. So you want to be honest. You want to tell the truth. And I think telling the truth is paramount. So what about say what you feel and ask questions? To keep this garden clean, say what you feel in a nice, respectful way. Don't hold your feelings back, but also ask questions. Don't assume, one, that this person feels this way. Because you might say, oh, this person doesn't care about me. They don't care. They don't care about my feelings. No, don't assume. Ask them. You know, or ask them how they feel about something. Because isn't it all about knowing? Isn't it about friendship getting to know the other person? Isn't it about understanding how they tick and consciously how they feel? Asking questions is part of a friendship.
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, I normally do not ask a whole lot of questions, and here's why. The way I figure it is by getting into a casual conversation with someone that I can find out whatever it is that I need to find out from that person by leading the conversation into a certain direction.
You are very good at that. Yes, well, you are.
Yeah. That's just what I do. That's how I handle things. You know, so when it comes to the whole asking questions things, that's something that I really do not do. However, I do get asked a lot of questions, and I will answer those questions, honestly, you know, because I figure that's how this person is trying to get to know me or seeing exactly what is up with me, especially when I first meet them. Now, my best friend, on the other hand, doesn't ask me a lot of questions because, I mean, we've known each other for 20-plus years. She knows that already.
They also take cues, okay? So you understand that somebody you've known for a long time is going to look at your actions and going to understand you and going to take the time to actually go deeper than just tell me some words. Right. You know, and I think you're right about that. But yeah, when you're first meeting somebody, not a barrage of questions, not like 50 questions. But I mean, like, if you have a question, ask.
I get that a lot. I get that a lot from people. Whenever I meet someone new, I mean, I will get 50, 60, 70, 80 questions, and I feel like I'm in an interrogation chair, and I'm just answering these questions.
See, and that's when you go to Facebook on your phone.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Energy sucker. Be alert.
Yes. I mean, the person who I was talking about earlier before we started the show, she did that.
I
was going to say, see, I mean, you need to come out with this sometime, Ashley. He will literally do that. It's like, I can tell when he's done with the conversation because he starts, you know, he'll just go to Facebook and he's tuned out everything. He's done.
Or Twitter.
Yeah, or Twitter.
Or Twitter,
And if you just met somebody, you can do that. But, I mean, if you're in a long-term relationship or you've known them for a while, you don't have the same ability. So, basically, here is, the friendship is like a garden. It is. And you got to weed and you got to take care of it and you got to mow the lawn and you got to do all this stuff because we've all seen a really great house and you look at the front yard and you go, whoa, what is up with this? I mean, there's something wrong here. I mean, tend to your house, tend to your garden. I mean, you know, be happy about it. This is about you. And so when people see your friends and meet them, it is a definite reflection of you. Okay, so if you surround yourself with a bunch of liars and users, people will wonder about you. So remember this. You want, like, the nicest flowers. You want to reciprocate. You want to be there for them. You want to be honest. You want to tell the truth. You want to ask questions. You want to give and take. And also, don't romance anything. So we have a great show for you next week, and you're going to love it. And you know what? Perspectives with me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in, well, this time we'll be back in three shakes.